Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Commercial Connections Podcast. This is the forum that features interviews with top commercial experts from across the country, sharing their best practices to help you improve your business.
Hi, this is Alex Ruggieri, and you're listening to Commercial Connections Podcast. My guest today is Barry M. Wolf. Barry is a Vice President of Investments with Marcus & Millichap's Fort Lauderdale office. He's the director of both Marcus & Millichap's National Retail Group and the Net Leased Properties Group. Before joining Marcus & Millichap, Barry's focus was as a practicing attorney for nearly 10 years, initially in private practice with a transactional real estate focus. Subsequently, he served as an in-house counsel for a publicly traded company where he ran the real estate department, and his legal background frequently proves invaluable in assisting his clients in navigating through the landmines inherent in real estate transactions. Welcome, Barry.
No, thank you, Alex. I appreciate you having me.
You bet. I am so excited about having someone of your level of expertise on the podcast today. My whole mission in putting these together is to bring some of the top flight people in the industry and have them share with our commercial practitioners in the NAR some of the secrets of success, some of the touchstones that have guided them in their business. And I'm very interested to hear some of the things that you have to share. And when we were talking about in preparation for this, you mentioned something about there are 2 6 o'clocks in every day. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that goes back when I was a kid. I went to a basketball camp at the University of Georgia, and this is just, it's funny the little things that stick with you from many, many years ago. And I remember sitting on the basketball floor of this big arena, and the coach making the comment. He said a lot of his players will come to him and say, "Coach, I don't have time to practice free throws. I got schoolwork, I got homework and practices, et cetera." And he'd look at them always and say, "There's 2 6 o'clocks in every day." And that just stuck with me that, you know, if you can't get it done at 6 p.m., get your you-know-what out of bed and do it at 6 a.m. And, it's kind of made it where, I mean, I'm in my office by 6 a.m. every day, is it because at times you can't get everything done by 6 o'clock, so I try to get it done on the other 6 o'clock end. And that's always benefited me well. I see guys rolling in our office at 9, 9:30, and I'm kind of already 2-3 hours into the day. It's just always stuck with me to have that kind of work ethic to get the day started. I mean, kind of like the old Marine commercial, and just get your day started early and get in front of the competition in some regards.
Yeah, you know, the beauty of that is it's the simplicity of it. People think, there's got to be some magic to the secret of his success. Well, that's basically what we all learned in, what was it? You know, I learned everything I needed to know in kindergarten. You know, the
right.
Early a bird gets the worm, right? I just think that's very, very compelling, very powerful. I know a lot of times I'll come in on a Saturday just because it's quiet, and it is absolutely amazing how much work you can get done, and I would imagine that would be true at 6 o'clock in the morning too.
Yeah, so that's one of the big benefits is whether and it may be just working from home. I mean, it doesn't have to be in your office. We're exactly that, where it's a great time to get through emails, work. I mean, I'll have people ask me, what in the world can you do at 6 or 7 o'clock? Because you're not obviously on the phone, although you will find a few people that are kind of like you and are there, and they appreciate they can reach you that early. But generally, it's just you can take some contemplative time. You can review goals. You can review what your day is like. I mean, I use it as planning. I mean, looking ahead, what do I need to get done today? Who do I need to speak with? What projects do I need to take care of? What are my priorities? Instead of just, again, you'll see people come in at 9 o'clock, grab a cup of coffee, run to their desk, turn on their computer, and try to go from 0 to 100 in 10 seconds. And that just generally doesn't work very well, and certainly not long term.
Yeah, one of the things that I've done, and I find it works really well. It is, being we're located in the Midwest, and being that we're in Central Time Zone, there are times, for instance, like if I'm on my way home at 5 o'clock or 5:30 or even 6 o'clock, I know that I can call California, and those people are still sitting at their desks at 3:30, 4 o'clock. And conversely, I can get up very early in the morning and say, at 6:30, I can call somebody on a cell phone who's in Eastern time zone, or at 7 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock their time, I can call them at their office, and you can get a lot of work done that way too.
Hey, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a great point, is just trying to plan. I mean, obviously, you don't want to be calling somebody in California. I mean, I wouldn't call somebody in California at 7, 8 o'clock East Coast time. So I think that's just something you do have to figure out. When can you contact people? How do you use your time best? And that might be, West Coast people try to reach out to towards the tail end of your day. And particularly being in Central, you can knock out, your dealings with East Coast folks pretty early in your day. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah. It really works. One of the things that you talked about in our notes that we went over was that we must strive to add value for all clients and prospects. What do you mean by that?
You've got to add value. I mean, I kind of early in my career, it struck me, I mean, and particularly in commercial, but even on residential, but again, more so on the commercial side. I mean, we're asking our clients to pay us the equivalent of either, from a fee standpoint, either of a very expensive car or at times a house. I don't think you can take lightly the, if you're sitting in front of a client and you're proposing a $2, $3, $5, $10 million deal and the fee is going to be several hundred thousand dollars, if you can't look the client in the eye and tell them how you're going to add value and how you're going to make it worth that fee, whether it's by saving them time, saving them money, making them more money, if there's no benefit, then you shouldn't be sitting in front of that person asking for that fee. So I think you've got to be able to add value. And many times it's not even, it's well before you've ever listed a property or sold a property for a client or helped them buy a property. I really take an approach, how can I help people in the business? And if that's just getting them information, even if I never do business with that particular person, I just feel like it comes back to you somehow through karma or whatever, through the universe. It's just all about how can you help people, and at some point hope it comes back to you in some way.
Yeah, I agree so wholeheartedly. I remember when I was a young broker, my mentor drew a circle and did a little pie chart where he sliced out a 5% represented one slice, and the other 95% represented the rest of the pie. And he said, take a look at that. And I said, yeah. And he said, do you see that 5% slice? Yeah, I do. Well, that's the number of people that are actually going to put their properties on the market this season. And you see the 95% of the pie? Yes, I do. Those are the people that own property but aren't ready to sell, or just sold, or have no intention to sell right now. And I said, okay. He goes, the 5% slice everybody is chasing after. And that's where all your competition is trying to, elbow their way in. The 95% section of the pie, no one's even paying attention to them right now. If you'll take care of those people now, think of that slice as kind of a clock, and it moves, and as that slice takes over a new part of the 5%, now those people are in the market, they're going to remember all the things you did for them when they were in the 95% of people who weren't going to sell. And that always stuck with me, focus on
that's a great
people.
Analogy. Add value. I like that a lot.
Yeah, to those people, because they'll come around at a time when, and then sure enough, all the other brokers are going to be chasing them. But guess what? They're going to remember you because you helped them, you added value, maybe like you said, when you had no reason to expect that they were going to do anything.
Right. No, I think that's a great analogy. I think it's perfect. I mean, absolutely. You've got to be able to help people when they're not looking to do anything. And then also, but then when they get to that point, you've still got to be able to add value. I mean, if it's anyone can go take their property and put it on LoopNet or put it on the MLS or, right, some equivalent, If that's the if your whole value proposition is let me put it on LoopNet, let me put it on the MLS, then you really don't have a value proposition. It's got to be
that's not a value proposition. Everybody has that value proposition. Let's parse that out a little bit. How do you what ways do you find to add value? How can we kind of learn from your habits?
Well, I think it's of course, before you're even to the marketing stage, again, it's trying to be of help to them, being a service provider, whether it's just providing market information, market data, just being there if they want to bounce ideas off the wall or just have somebody to run something by. But, you know, it's kind of jumping ahead, assuming you're getting to the point of actually marketing a property for them. I think it certainly is proactively marketing it. It's getting it out to the right buyers. It's not pocket listing a deal and showing it to my buyers and figuring out how do I make sure I double in to increase my fee. It's all about to me, it gets down to
putting the seller's interest first.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about how do I help the seller net the most dollars. And if that's, I don't care where that buyer comes from. I don't care who is representing that buyer. If it's a broker in my firm, if it's myself, if it's a third party broker from anywhere in the world, it's, you know, how do we get the buyer that's going to pay the most money? But then it's also qualifying the buyers. It's if you've got hopefully 3, 4, 5, 10 buyers, it's not just how do I get the deal to contract and then disappear. It's sitting down with analyzing the offers, understanding the offers, interviewing the buyers and the brokers, and understanding who is ultimately the most probable to get to the finish line. Because that's one of the things that stuck with me also in the business. If all I've done is gotten a deal to contract and it falls out, all I've done is wasted my time, wasted my client's time, and wasted their money because they've spent money on legal fees. And you know, unless I get it to a closing table, I've done nothing of any value. So it's figuring out how do we get it to the closing table, how do we eliminate, for lack of a term, a retrade or a price renegotiation, how do you position the asset, position the deal, position the seller where they're not exposed and towards some sort of a pricing game after the deal's already in contract, and then getting it to a successful closing and navigating all the issues that come up, any contractual issues, any due diligence issues, just staying involved throughout the entire process and not being a broker that, okay, the deal's under contract, Mr. Attorney, please, you know, let me know when it's closing so I can pick up my fee or I'll send you my wiring instructions.
We don't want to be that
guy. There are guys like that. I mean, there's a lot of brokers, unfortunately, that are like that. But at the same time, there's many, many out there that do exactly what we're talking about, that really do care, that spend the time, that are professionals, and really do add a tremendous amount of value. I mean, I'd like to think I'm one of those. I know you are. And I deal with those that are, you know, multiple times every day. I mean, there are some great brokers out there.
Well, I agree with you completely. We're just about to our last minute in the podcast.
Sure.
If there were three things that you wanted to share, no one even remembered anything else about what you said today. What are those three things that they can walk away from the podcast today and increase their business, make more money, or be better at what they're doing?
One thing that maybe comes to mind, I think the couple things we did talk about already, but then it's funny, you mentioned at the front of the podcast, you know, sharing any secrets that I have or that you have. In reality, there really are none. I mean, I don't think there are any secrets in this world or in the business anymore. So one of the things, I'll try to do is really sit down and look at what, you know, the successful folks in the business, so look at what my clients are doing and try to figure out what are they doing, what can I take from that into my business. And, you know, there's an old adage, success leaves tracks, is trying, instead of trying to reinvent the wheel and going and doing it totally your own way, follow what others are doing. You know, folks that have been successful in front of you, whether there's somebody else in your office, somebody, you know, a book you've read and come across, listening to your podcasts and ideas you hear, try to incorporate those instead of just, you know, trying to reinvent the wheel and invent a new way to do a business that's been around for many, many years. I mean, don't make the same mistakes that others have made. There's no reason to.
Yeah, I love it because not only can you learn from people who have gone before what to do and what to do right, you can learn also what not to do. So great stuff. I can't believe it. We're out of time already. But Barry, I cannot thank you enough for sharing with us on NAR's Commercial Connections podcast today.
Likewise. Very much, Alex. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Thanks for being with us on the Commercial Connections podcast, the place for you to learn the best practices from the best commercial experts in the country.